In this episode, we speak with Shanish Monkar, the founder and CEO of Legion Technologies, an industry-leading workforce management platform that maximizes labor efficiency and employee engagement simultaneously. The company was founded in 2016 and led by Shanish to create the Legion WFM platform. With this easy-to-use app, employers maintain efficiency and productivity while hourly employees get gig-like schedule flexibility and control, modern communication tools, and greater pay autonomy. Shanish is the former Chief Product Officer and Executive Vice President at SAP and Ariba. I'm your host, RJ Lumba. We hope you enjoy the show. If you like the episode, click to follow.
RJ Lumba is the Executive Chairman of Market Insight Media and the Managing Partner of GrowthCap. He is the host of Great Entrepreneurs, a podcast for driven entrepreneurs and business owners. Our podcast covers all topics related to the entrepreneurial journey, from ideation to execution to optimization and to reaping the rewards of a well-run business. In the minutes ahead, we'll share with you unique insights and tactics from some of today's most accomplished and inspiring entrepreneurs.
Shanish, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. It's a delight to be with you.
Great to be here. Thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely. So on this podcast, we like to explore the entrepreneurial journey. We'll talk a little bit about your company, Legion, and what it does, what it provides to customers. I thought it'd be interesting to kick off at your starting point, your journey as an entrepreneur. Curious about your thought process when you made the decision to go from being a C-suite executive to founding your own company. What compelled you to make that leap?
Yeah, I think firstly, there wasn't, you know, one single incident or thought or event that compelled me. I think it was a process. I was chief product officer at SAP, and it was a pretty great job. We were building some incredible things. I felt that journey was over. I was doing that for a while. I was in this company called Ariba, where I was doing similar things. That company was acquired by SAP and doing similar things at a bigger scale. And to me, the first part of that journey was basically just knowing that what I was doing at SAP was basically, you know, I did not want to do that anymore. And again, it was a great run, you know, between Ariba and SAP, it was 15 years. I took some time off with not knowing what I wanted to do. The thinking at that time was I was going to take some time off and likely going to join another company and, you know, do the type of things I was doing before. But that break of several months was really instrumental in sort of resetting the mind and thinking about new possibilities. And I recommend that to everybody, by the way. If you can do it, and if you're at some sort of crossroads in your career, take some time off and, you know, rethink, recharge, explore new places. And that's sort of what I did. You know, I spent a lot of time in national parks and went across the country on, you know, spent a lot of time even like sleeping in my car in these parks. And, you know, it was just a great way to get outdoors. And during that time, I was sort of, you know, observing a lot of small businesses across the country. Especially it was great to be outside of Silicon Valley and, you know, just looking at sort of other real businesses, you know, how they function and the challenges they go through, and employees doing frontline jobs and working cafes. And I was spending a lot of time talking to them. And my initially, it was an observation that all these businesses, they are obviously always working very hard and they're trying to, you know, build their business and build their customer base, but they're all of them pretty much universally were struggling with labor. And there were for hire signs outside almost every single business. So they'd never had enough workers. And the reason is they always had those signs out is they are trying to manage this very high turnover. So that's one part of the reality. And the other part of the reality is when you talk to the employees themselves, well, how come, like, I mean, you should be getting everything you want because there's a shortage of labor. So you should be getting, these should be good jobs. Like you should be getting treated really well. But that wasn't their experience. Their experience was the wage rates are really low. They don't get any ownership over their schedule, which was very important for them because most of these employees are doing these jobs not as a necessarily as a career building thing, but to earn some money so they can take care of themselves, or sometimes it's complementary or supplementing another job because the first job it doesn't give them a living wage. So there are all these reasons why schedule and convenience was very important for them as they did these jobs. And they were not getting that. So they would constantly leave a job and go to another job and leave that job, go to another job. So turnover was very high. So I thought that picture was so broken that on one hand, there is businesses wanting workers constantly. And on the other hand, workers not satisfied by the experience these jobs gives them. So felt like it was a very important thing to think about. And in that whole process of several months, I went from thinking about it to really developing deep empathy for the situation for at large. And then I started getting into, wow, this is a really large problem. There are 60% of the US workforce, about 75 million workers, doing these types of jobs where they all share similar type of experiences, and the employers who hire them have similar type of challenges. And then you zoom out even more, and then you look at globally, there are about almost 2 billion workers. And you come to the realization as a technologist that you've been working on technology all this time, but none of that technology has made it to this workforce. And they have not benefited. It's almost like the technology, everything that even now we are talking about, you and I are having this great conversation on this amazing high quality video. Most retail workers don't even have a company email address, right? Mm-hmm. So that's sort of the deep chasm between the technology that was built to serve some part of the workforce, but not others, and how that chasm is increasing. So I felt pretty moved by all of these things. So as I know it's a long answer, but I just wanted to illustrate the point. It was a journey for me of going from an observation to deep conviction on why this problem should be solved that compelled me to start Legion.
Yeah, it's a fascinating exploration of how an idea can come out of an experience that's completely outside of your normal working sphere. Like, could you have had that idea if you just continued living where you were living at the time and had not gone and explored and taken time off? It's a really interesting point. I myself recently traveled and I had new ideas that came out of that travel in Europe. You mentioned something about empathy, and I'm curious if that was a big part of wanting to start the company. You know, there's always this blend of like, oh, how big is the market going to be? Is the solution going to make money? How big can the company be? So I'm wondering about that balance. Like, how much of it was like, all right, I've been working in technology and, you know, I rose through the ranks, I did pretty well, but that's played its course. That doesn't excite me anymore. What I'm really excited about is actually trying to solve this really big problem. How much of it was empathy? How much of it was the business or like, you know, expanding a company?
I think ultimately it has to be a combination of all of those things, because empathy obviously is very important. You need to have something that compels you to get out of bed every day and give your best, because there's going to be a lot of hard days and you need something beyond quarterly sales targets and, you know, technology building goals and milestones and things like that. There has to be something more that gets you not only out of bed and give you 100%, but also enables you to look at your team and say, this is what we're going to do and here's why. So that's very important. But that is not enough, because especially if you're building a venture-backed business, you need to be able to also do the calculus of business. Mm-hmm. Of here's the market size, here's the addressable market, here is the incumbents, here is the how we will, you know, our business strategy, here's the technology differentiators. You need to be able to convince, in other words, investors on why this will be a great business. And so I think both of those things are important. Now, mm-hmm. depending on if you're not a venture-backed business, if it's a lifestyle business, there could be a different sort of equation there. But for what we are building, I mean, the scale of fixing labor as a problem statement is really massive. And I definitely, from day one, knew this. If we're going to do this, I'm going to need help. I'm going to need investors. I'm going to need a great team. I'm going to, like, this is the canvas here is really large. And so it was very natural for me to, while I myself was driven by deep empathy and the desire to make a change in the society, I also had to be the person who needs to figure out the business side of it and how this can be a great business for the investors and how this can be a great experience for the employees we're going to hire and all of that stuff.
I could see how maybe initially and correct me if I'm wrong here, one could start off with a solution, trying to create a solution that says like, okay, we want to have a better experience between employer and employee, which would reduce turnover, increase the length of employment of each individual. But then in reality, the situation is that people get bored. They're in the job. They're like, okay, this was great for 3 months, but you know, frankly, I don't like it that much. And I want to go to the next job. And I know there's opportunities out there. And then it just ends up being, oh, is the solution just to facilitate faster recruiting and faster onboarding? I'm curious, what did it end up being?
That's a great question, by the way. It was one of the first big conundrums that we had to face when we were thinking about what is the solution. Is the solution faster recruiting, like you said, or is the solution truly geared towards helping employees stay there for longer? And what would that take? And the conclusion we came up with, and I still believe, you know, several years into this journey now, that was absolutely the right conclusion, is actually employees are leaving not because they want to or they're bored, but because they have to. And especially for these types of jobs now, there is a big difference between, you know, what was traditionally called blue-collar jobs and white-collar jobs, right? So now we refer to it as frontline jobs and, you know, service jobs and things like that. For frontline slash service jobs, and we have a lot of data ourselves. We do, since the time Legion was founded, we've been doing some type of surveys that has transformed into this State of the Union surveys that we do every year. So we got a ton of data around this, and as well as there's a lot of material on the internet. Employees in frontline jobs are leaving for largely three reasons. One is schedule inconvenience or schedule flexibility. And again, that makes sense. I mean, we've all done these types of jobs, or most of us have. And it's the path of least resistance when the schedule doesn't work is you leave and you go find something else that enables you to work on Thursday, Fridays instead of Monday, Tuesdays, and stuff like that. Or like I said, it could be these jobs could be supplementing another job, or this could be a vocational job, you know, or you might be a student, or it could be a part-time job because you could be a single parent, or all of those things. So convenience of the hours that you've got available to do these jobs really matter. And then what happened in the past 10, 15 years was the rise of gig jobs where you could get that easily. You could clock in, clock out as a DoorDash dasher and work whenever you want to for basically the same wage rates. So that became the singular biggest reason why people were leaving these jobs. And that's a fixable problem. Software can help match make better with when work needs to be done and when you are available to do the work. The two other things that were also important was the generational shift that was happening. There's a large population of people occupying these jobs were retiring and new generations were coming and replacing them. Today, over 60% of people working these jobs are millennials and younger. They grew up on the internet. This is the internet generation and the social media generation. And when you start working on these jobs and you realize, oh, I don't have a mobile app. I don't have to take pictures of my schedule. And, you know, like this hugely inconvenient thing that just seemed alien to them. That was just a problem in terms of, you know, the experience for the employees and would lead to very low satisfaction. And again, ton of data shows this. And the emerging thing in the past 3 to 5 years is instant pay. And again, this is something that gig jobs give you. When the shift is over, you get paid. Why not my restaurant shift? When my restaurant shift is over, why do I have to wait for 1 week or 2 weeks to get paid? So these types of things were the reasons why people were leaving the jobs. And from an employer standpoint also, they were very common patterns. Employers were looking for, hey, if you can help me improve my efficiency, since I'm paying everybody by the hour, I want to deploy people only when there is demand, right? I want productivity. The best way to improve productivity is to just retain people longer because they just get better and better at their jobs. And the third is I want to reduce turnover. So we felt like the unique insight very early days of Legion was there are things employees are looking for, which is the primary reason why they're leaving. They don't want to, but they have to. And there are things that employees are looking for that is also very consistent from business to business of various sizes and industry. And these are things that we truly felt that software can help with. These are things that software can do a much better job of operationalizing and managing so that both sides can get a lot of value out of it.
Mm-hmm. And is there a size threshold where it definitely makes sense to employ Legion? Or if you're a small restaurant, May not matter that much. You only need to fill so many spots.
Yeah, I think size threshold is definitely a factor. The larger the business you are, all of these challenges that I'm talking about are compounded, right? I mean, you just have more, like if you are one of Legion's customers is in the nationwide retailer and they have 170,000 employees, that's a problem at scale. And then if it's a single unit or one small restaurant, I think they have these problems, but at a smaller scale. And generally, you don't need complex software to manage this. I mean, if you have a good manager, you know, they can basically work with every single employee and they can do the right thing. So we tend to focus on mid to large size businesses because that's where they need help. They need more help and need an automation to solve these problems. And definitely software has a bigger role to play.
You know, one of the aspects too, I think being a successful entrepreneur is getting the people skills down. Did you feel like you had already developed the right amount of EQ to be able to be an effective founder CEO? Or did you find that when you got into this new role of entrepreneur, you had to even think more deeply about how you were building a culture?
I think it's a journey that never ends. I can tell you, I learned more about people, how to interact with people, how to lead people, and also learned more about myself in this journey as an entrepreneur than I ever did before in my career, because the stakes are higher in some sense, because, you know, a lot of decisions have long-term ramifications and the buck stops with you. And also getting a team assembled who want to follow you in spite of the whole irrational nature of startups, right? Everybody knows the math, most startups fail and, you know, all that stuff. So in some sense, it's almost irrational, right? To kind of jump in and say, I'm going to build this, I'm going to take on these big goals and things like that. But as an entrepreneur, you need to be able to convince people. You need to be able to convince, of course, investors, but you need to be able to convince employees that this mission matters. Here is our plan of attack, and here's how we're going to do it, and here's the things, here's the next milestone and the next milestone. I don't think imposing any of these things work. You need a very high degree of EQ to motivate people, to motivate employees, to energize investors, to share the vision with customers, and all those things are areas of constant learning for me. I think that's never ends. I'm always looking to get better. I'm always looking for lessons. And one example of a lesson was very early on in Legion's journey was someone gave me the feedback. One of my first customers gave me the feedback that, hey, what do you know about being a barista? And like, how can you solve this? It's a combination of, do you have the right amount of empathy? Do you have the right amount of experience to even solve this problem? And that led to me getting trained as a barista. And I felt that was one of the hardest things. I mean, it was a really tough job for me. So these types of things, I felt, you know, you need to be open to whole new experiences of learning. But also, it enabled a very unique insight into not just the life of a frontline worker, but also their engagement with their customers and how they think about it and what can we possibly do in the software to help them. So I think it's a journey that never ends. And I think that is something that I actually enjoy, because that just helps me get better every day.
I imagine during this kind of intense period of learning, as you kind of grow the business and you assume the mantle, you know, of leadership, did you find that you were always trying to figure out how to optimize whether you should lean into your strengths or work on your weaknesses and how to best calibrate what you focus on?
Ultimately, the point should be what's best for the company. And if what's best for the company is to work on my weakness, that's obviously a priority for me. If what's best for the company is to have a team that complements my strengths and overcomes my weaknesses, that's great. That's, you know, ultimately, it's not just about personal development. Of course, that is part of it, but it's really about how do we develop the company together. So I think self-awareness around where I need help and where my team needs help from me, I think is probably the singular most important factor. And in that help, yes, you may end up developing your own weaknesses too, but the primary objective is company progress.
One of the questions we like to ask is, are entrepreneurs born or made? I'm curious if during your childhood or even adolescence or in college, were you already showing signs of being an entrepreneur?
I personally believe entrepreneurs are made and not born, personally. Mm-hmm. Now, I come from a family of entrepreneurs, so it seems contrary to that background. But going into this journey, I never had an intention of being an entrepreneur. I didn't leave SAP saying, I'm going to start a company. In fact, I resisted the notion till the end, until one of my mentors told me that, hey, if you're passionate about this problem, then you should be jumping in and trying to solve it yourself, versus looking, waiting and looking around you to see if somebody else is solving it so you can join forces with them. Don't wait for that. Just go and do it. So I needed that nudge, because it wasn't really a goal to start a company, right? But the experiences that I had and the conviction that I developed compelled me. So I think that's why I say that entrepreneurs are made and not born. I think it's great to have that experience. It's great to have some experience that compels you. And then that's when you can be a little bit irrational. Mm-hmm. And say, well, it's not about the income and it's not about this and that. It's about solving that problem.
Last two questions. One is, can you tell us about a person who has had a profound impact on you?
Well, there are many. I definitely look up to, I've been very fortunate to have many mentors along the way, not just with Legion, but even prior to Legion. And I strongly believe in the mentorship, whether it's formal or informal, and that's important. But if you look at the public realm and you look at who's out there, I definitely think as an entrepreneur, you cannot help be inspired by Elon Musk, by what he's done and the type of problem statements he's taken on, which would be conventionally considered crazy ideas and would be considered like, why would you work on building rockets and this and that? And that has been really his hallmark, right? In some sense of the type of problems he takes on that are really at the scale that they need to be built so that they can actually work. That is very inspiring. And that should be inspiring, I think, to all entrepreneurs, because oftentimes we are conventionally taught of, you know, work on niche ideas and prove it out and then start small and start narrow. And like, yes, all those things, obviously that conventional wisdom has a place, but then here is another model where you just say, I'm going to go to Mars or I'm going to go, like, it is very refreshing and it's very inspiring.
Last question. Can you tell us about a charity cause or other endeavor that you're passionate about?
I'm very passionate about anything that's related to animals and animal rescue. And there are several nonprofit, great organizations that do amazing work in rescue and rehab animals. And I personally have dogs and rescue dogs. And so it's something that is beyond work. It is a deep passion of mine.
That's fantastic. Well, Sunish, want to thank you again for taking the time, spending a little bit of it with us. I know this will be very insightful for our audience. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.